To talk with George Norrie, call the wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk to George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
You know, in the old days, they used to put a bell with a string inside the caskets in case someone was buried alive. By the way, Mike from San Diego writes, he says, George, I saw the giant bird in the summer of 1988 in Rancho San Diego while driving a catering truck through the construction sites. I almost hit the thing. It was 6 to 7 feet tall. Looked straight at me. That's a big bird. Flew right over the truck. It did not have feathers. Boy, that's something else. I was just talking to Tommy. Tommy, of course, who is the line producer at night on Coast to Coast. And I asked him a question. I said, I'm going to give you the name of Ichabod Crane. Do you know where that came from? And I kid you not, he looks at me and he goes, Narnia, Narnia, that's where it comes from. Can you believe that? And he still doesn't know where Ichabod Crane's name came from. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Ed in Petaluma.
Hi there. How are you?
Okay. I'm listening on KSRO 1350 from Santa Rosa.
Absolutely welcome. By the way, tell my producer where the name Ichabod Crane came from. You know, don't you?
Yeah, the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Exactly. Everybody knows that. He doesn't. Oh, well. What's on your mind?
I had a question concerning that scientist that Richard C. Hoagland was talking about.
Yes.
Do you think he's going to go the way of that other guy, Malov?
Yeah, Eugene Malov. Boy, I hope not. I'm still very suspicious of Eugene's death. But I'll tell you, they have muffled this Italian physicist very quickly. Yeah, he was all excited when he found out that this was ammonia and convinced that there was some kind of life on Mars. And now they've shut him up. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see if he shows up or resurrects sometime next week.
Okay. And one other question.
Yeah.
Earlier, that story about the big bird.
Yes.
Is that that Thunderbird that you keep mentioning occasionally?
It may very well be the Thunderbird. A lot of people have seen a huge bird, and that could be what they're seeing. This individual claims it was an eagle. Regardless of what a Thunderbird very well may be, that's a big bird. And I'm telling you, something that stands 6 or 7 feet tall, that's big.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay, appreciate that. I wonder if it's Mothman. You never know. Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome. There, right. Where are you?
I'm on the Southern Loop in Atlanta, Georgia.
Well, drive carefully.
Appreciate it. I just had a story about, you were talking about stories we've never told anybody before.
Yeah.
My husband and I are both truck drivers. When we first started off, I was just a passenger, and we were driving for a company out of Southwest Missouri. we were taking the back roads down to Nogales. We turned off on a little two-lane road, and there was a van parked off in a little dirt road right at the very end. Didn't pay any attention to it. We go on down the road, and about a half mile past it, we started hearing this, like, really loud hum and vibration, and something passed over the road. Some sort of aircraft passed over the road, and our truck is about 70 feet in length, and this thing had to be twice the circumference of it had to be twice the length of our vehicle. It was huge. Well, my dog started acting funny. We thought maybe she had to go to the restroom. So half a mile to a mile down the road was the pull-off area. It was like a picnic area. Well, we pulled in, and about 2 minutes after getting there, I was in the truck. We shut off the truck. It was a beautiful night. My husband's out walking the dog. I had the door open, or the window open, was just, you know, talking to him. And this van pulls in the exit and parks, rolls down his window, and just sits there. Well, all of a sudden, another van, which we're assuming was the one that was parked on the side, comes screeching up, hits its brakes, shoots through the rest area, goes out the other end, stops, and goes back the way he came. Well, that one van sat there with his window open. My husband said, lock the door, roll up the window, get in the back. So I did, and I sat squatted between his seats just watching to see what was going on. My husband, being former military, very much believes that, you know, people disappear, things happen, right?
You so got it.
Like, get in the back. And so I got in the back, and I was kind of squatted down looking between the seats, and he gets in the car, he gets in the truck, puts the dog in the truck, turns the lights on, puts it in the gear, and just rolls out like nothing's going on.
Uh-huh.
And we had the van pass us and then come back towards us again, and we never saw it after that.
That's strange. What do you think they were doing? I mean, what's your gut tell you?
Some sort of experimental aircraft. It scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, or they were in contact with whatever it might have been.
It could be, but it was huge, George. I mean, you know, first we're thinking, well, maybe it's a stealth bomber or something like that, but it didn't look to us, what we could see of it, it did not look to us like it was shaped like a stealth bomber.
How low was it to the truck?
It was low enough where we could almost see the bottom of it. It was like dark grayish black in color.
Was it one of those big triangular-shaped objects we hear so much about?
What we could see of it, it looked rounded on the edges, not like there were any right-angle edges.
You could see some shape and texture to it?
Some shape to it. It had a shimmering, dark gray texture to it. It scared the crap out of me.
I got it. There's something going on, isn't there?
There has to be.
God.
I mean, I know there's things. I mean, I'm a child of the military. My daddy was a Navy man. I'm a Navy brat. I understand that there are things that we don't know about that sometimes we're better off not knowing, but I'm telling you, it really was scary.
Would you prefer to know for sure that it was man-made or extraterrestrial?
I would prefer to know.
And of the two, which would you prefer it to be?
Oh, I'd prefer it to be man-made.
You would?
Because that would mean that we are going forward in our technology, that we're growing. But at the same time, part of me wants it to be alien.
Yeah, me
because,
too.
You know, it's one of those where we both know, I mean, we would be arrogant to think that we were the only creatures that God made.
I don't think we're alone in the universe, but it would be lonely if we were.
Yeah.
Just imagine that for one moment, that we are it, the only life forms in the universe.
Yeah.
It is lonely, isn't it?
It's very lonely. But think about this. Would you build a 20-foot by 20-foot doghouse to house a Yorkie? This universe is far too big for it just to be us.
Good point. Thanks.
Take care, George.
Be careful.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
I'd like to call your attention to two things.
Yes, sir.
Yesterday morning's paper showed a picture of a 5-year-old female. Let me see what the name of this thing is. It's M-A-C-A-Q-U-E, monkey. Macaw.
Oh, this is the one that was standing straight up.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I sure did. We had it posted on the website.
That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Apparently, it was very sick, and then once it recovered, it never acted like a monkey again.
Right. It will not do anything other than walk straight up.
Yeah, I mean, and we're not talking about slouchy. This is straight up like a human being would walk.
And another thing, too, last night on CNN, Jeannie Most did a story, and I believe this was in Baltimore, Maryland. She was in someone's backyard, and as the camera approaches this animal in the yard, she says, now, folks, you may think of this as being an anteater, but it's not. And when you first look at it at a distance, it does look like an anteater. But when you get up close to it and start looking at it, the back portion of the animal looks like it may be part dog.
Oh, this is this picture of this thing in Baltimore.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that, too. I don't miss much.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you a joke then.
I think it's a cross myself between a coyote and a hyena. It looks like one of those things, doesn't
it? It really does.
Yeah.
But only it looks like a little horse head.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, George. That's what I wanted you to say.
Okay, sir. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Because you know what? I'm glad you called me because I really don't catch everything. And it might have been a good story. But, you know, we've got a chain of checks and balances here. So I've got Lex and Sean and everybody else. They spot things, too. So we put a lot of those on the website. Let's go to the I Never Told Anybody story. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Linda calling from KTRH 740, Houston, Texas.
Linda, welcome.
Thank you. And this occurred back in about 1956, and I would not encourage young people to do that, what I did today, but a friend and I were up in Ruidoso, New Mexico, which is a ski resort area.
Okay.
And it's actually, we were on a mountain that's owned by American Indians, and we were staying with my folks, but we came upon this cabin, and I was unused to basements, but we got a window open, and we crawled down into the basement. And as we were looking, I saw a piano, and I had been playing the piano. I went over there and pulled the music out, and all the music was like from the early 40s, like 1940, 1942. I thought, well, that's strange. And we went through some of the closets, and there were like all these old clothes, like old letter jackets and stuff from the 40s.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And then we went upstairs, and I looked, and there were, like, coffee cups and plates like they had just been eaten off of, but no one was there. And I looked, and there were, like, newspapers from the 40s, and there was, like, a medicine, a prescription bottle dated in the 40s.
It's like time stood still.
Yeah, and I just panicked, and I thought, there's nothing here from this time. And we looked and looked, and finally I just said to my friend, we better get out of here. But it was just the strangest thing. I never told anybody because I was embarrassed that we had broken in. Now, it's real dangerous, but but it was as though we had passed into a different time.
And you saw nobody ever there?
No, there were no people or anything, but it was like they had just left. I mean, there was like coffee in the cups, and I just kept looking for anything, you know, that was from the 50s, and it was all from the 40s.
Was there any dust out there on the plates or anything like that?
No, it looked just like, I mean, it was clean and everything. I thought, well, maybe, you know, it was like a vacation area. I thought, well, maybe the family just has not been up here since the, you know, since the 40s, but, I mean, there was a light on the stove, and it was all, you know, like shiny. It was just the weirdest thing that ever happened to me, and like I said, I never told anybody because I was embarrassed that we had broken in, and I don't think that people should do that. It was quite dangerous.
Well, it sounds like the Three Bears. You never
anyway,
know.
Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that it was as though I had stepped back in time.
You didn't take anything, did you?
Oh, no, sir. No, no.
No, I'm kidding. I know you didn't. Thanks for the call.
Surely. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. Let's go to our east of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
All right. I'm calling from Nashville. Love your show. I just want to say real quick. I'm calling because my best friend died back in around 1992, actually it was. And I was pretty distraught over it. And I kept asking him, you know, geez, you know, I wish I could just see you one more time. And then with my ex-wife and my ex-sister-in-law's witness, my three-year-old niece at that time, she was having a tea party, and mm-hmm. I walked into the bedroom, and I said, oh, you're talking to one of your imaginary friends. And she said, no, I'm talking to Rudy. Yeah, he was my best friend.
And she knew him, right?
No, never met him at all.
She never knew him?
Never met him. She was 3 years old. I met my wife, ex-wife in a whirlwind. That's probably why she's an ex.
Okay, yeah.
So maybe there was talk, you know, through the house after he died. He was killed in a car accident. And I don't know, but she said, no, I'm talking to Rudy. And I, you know, got the chills. And I said, okay. And she did that for about a week. And she kept telling me that Rudy wants to speak with you. And I said, bring it on. I want to see him. You know, I'm open to that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to bed at the end of that, towards that week, after probably a week after he was buried. And I'm laying in bed, and my nickname used to be JJ from him. It was when we were little kids.
Okay.
You know, second grade.
Something
and
that was really between the two of you.
Right, right. So I hear like a JJ. And I looked up, and there he was. And he said, I need your help. Well, one last time, Spike and Hammer together. It was our nicknames.
Yeah.
He was Hammer, I was Spike. Whatever we got in trouble together, we could get out of it as long as we were together.
Sure.
And I said, yeah, no problem. Anything you want, you know. I sat up in bed, walked out my bedroom door, and I turned around. The bedroom door turned into a little window. I looked in the window. I'm laying in bed still. My wife's laying, ex-wife's laying in bed on her side the way she always did, facing the other way.
You've walked out of your body for some reason.
Exactly. So I'm getting chills right now talking about it. So anyhow, he said, I can't. He goes, I'm going to need your help. He goes, I can't seem to get over. And not sure if it was just for me to let go and have peace of mind or he really couldn't get over.
Mm-hmm.
He started walking down the hallway and the upstairs, and these hands with claws and sounds, it was dark, were reaching out trying to grab him.
Oh, my.
And I was beating him off him like we always did together. And I'm hitting those arms, I'm pulling them off of him, and suddenly it was like we went into a vacuum.
And again, this is in your spirit body, right?
Right,
okay.
Right. They weren't trying to touch me. It was all after him. And I pulled his arms off, we beat him down and everything else, and then it went into a total vacuum, as you can imagine, a vacuum with the sound of a suction, like...
Yeah.
And everything stopped and got dead silent. And of course, the big white light came to... you know, came in effect at that point in time. He turned around and said, I could never have gotten across without you, JJ. And I said, I'm going with you. And he said, no, it's not time for you to go yet. And as we're talking, all this white light, you see these images coming towards us, real long necks, long arms. The typical alien-looking,
people described.
And I couldn't see them. And when they got into focus, they took human form, and they all surrounded him from the back. And he said, you got to go back. And I was like, no way, I'm going with you. And he said, no, you got to go back. And I said, okay. I gave him a hug, told him I loved him. He told me he loved me too. Turned around, walked back down the hallway. Nothing was grabbing me. Climbed back up in through that window that I was telling you about. Got back in bed, laid down in bed. And as soon as I laid down in bed, I jumped back up in my real body.
That's a great story.
Here's the kicker. My niece never mentioned his name ever again after that.
That makes the whole thing sound even more palatable. You know what?
I thought it was a dream.
Yeah.
And my niece, Ainge, she never, ever, from that day forward, never had that tea party again, never spoke of his name again, never said a word of his name again.
He came back to you for help.
Either help to get across, or I wasn't letting go. I was sick. We were supposed to have dinner on a Sunday. He died on Monday. And
did you feel better afterward?
I feel better. I felt better afterwards, and to this day, I know he's still there. When I get in trouble, I ask him, I need some help. For instance, I was changing struts on a car, and I've never done it before, and I didn't know you had to have both wheels off the ground. I couldn't get the strut back on, and I threw my tools down. I said, I called out to him. I said, I need some help, and then the voice came in my head, said, jack up the other side, the part went on instantly.
And would he have known that?
Yeah, we used to work on cars together,
yeah.
And I don't know if he would have known that without looking in the manual, but I bet if he's somewhere higher and above, they know it all.
The mechanics of the world up there helped him out.
And that's happened over and over again. I've always gone to help with him, asking for help. I don't know if he's really helping me or if maybe it's just myself for reassurance, but I don't know if I helped him get across or if it was
a little bit of both. He helped you, too.
Right, that's exactly what I was going at, yeah.
That's a great story. Hey, thanks for sharing it.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate that. That is something. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes,
George?
Sir. Yeah.
This is Thomas from San Diego.
Thomas, we're listening to us on Kogo, our number one station. How are you?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Good.
This is I love getting on. I got on last week.
You're lucky.
Yeah. About last night, it was a fast flash, I think, about the small Ouija board.
Yes, the little toy Ouija board.
Yeah. Well, first of all, if he's scared of that, the whole show is about witches. So, I mean, if he's superstitious about Ouija boards, and it's... But I wanted to say about Ouija board, first of all, the little thing probably wouldn't do anything unless you use it. Nothing can happen.
I like the explanation, in order to get rid of it, just burn it in a little tiny fire.
But I also read that if you burn it and you, it's something about, if you hear the, you can hear screams, and it's bad to burn it.
I never heard that. I've always been told that you do burn it. That's the way to get rid of the spirits.
Well.
But, yeah, the screams. I never heard that. That's scary.
Yeah, I read that somewhere. But one way to protect yourself, if you are going to use a Ouija board, is to put a circle of salt all around you. And that'll keep away negative and help positive.
What does the salt have to do with it?
It's just a natural thing. I'm Wiccan, too, and it's just a...
Huh.
It's a protector. It's...
I guess there's some kind of chemical composition that makes it work, huh?
Well, yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks for sharing that. We're going to take this quick break. We'll come right back. We'll continue with Open Lines right here worldwide. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over. Talk with George Norrie. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5. And dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, so many warnings out about the Democratic Convention and the Republican Convention. Of course, the Democratic Convention is next week. We will be here standing by to flex and change programming if need be. If anything happens, and if, God forbid, anything does, we will go well beyond our normal coverage time period here. And just for the affiliates, just so you know that if anything happens, we won't give you the refeed, but we'll give you live programming of the events as they unfold. You know what? Let's knock on wood that nothing happens. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go west of the Rockies. Why don't you get us started? You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Morning, George.
Good morning to you.
Anyway, when in doubt, Charlie out, apply Occam's razor, or we can say the answer to Richard's $64,000 question is A, all of the above.
Could be.
Could be. Good morning. This is Gary. I'm calling from San Diego, listening to 600 AM Kogo.
Gary, you sound like a radio guy yourself.
Well, good, maybe I...
Good voice.
Yeah, everybody says that.
Yeah, no, you do.
Well, appreciate it. I'll take that as a compliment.
Absolutely.
Anyhow, something struck me what Richard mentioned earlier when he said his investigative resources were coming with the answer saying... we're on somebody else's clock, and it's not time yet. Talk about time in a bottle. Are we bottlenecked or what?
Really?
But, you know, talking about the potential as far as the JPL contracts that he mentioned earlier, and that there's some type of suppression here involved in exobiology. And I found that the same applies in the alternative energy resources.
I think you're right.
And I think that maybe we should get Jim Mars with Richard Hoagland again and throw Dr. Greer in there if he'd come in, because he sure has a lot to say
about
that. Yeah,
I think you may be onto something there.
I think so, too. By the way, I just not put a quick plug. I'm the founder of Tap 10 Research. I sent you an email about Robert Patterson coming up in the 2004 Extraordinary Technology Conference.
All right, thank you.
And
that
with
was
Linda Hull House, Linda Moulton Howe said something about the vortex, microwave, something with the crop circles. Robert Patterson's little wing works on the same principle.
And it works the same way?
Yes, basically it uses some type of magnetron. It uses vortex principles. I think, you know, you might find it very interesting. We're planning on using it for a prime mover, looking at the toy market and looking at some potential Homeland Security government contracts for drones.
What's the target date on that?
Well, we're already doing the testing on it for on vehicles, because it's converting energy, mass into energy somehow. Weird quantum physics is going on here, and it's gaining exponential increasing in your miles per gallon.
Has he garnered any investment capital? I'm wondering
if
they...
that's what we're there. Hal Fox is, you know, I've been in communication with him, and he says, you know, this definitely... this is before Eugene's Malice passing away, unfortunately. He said that this is something that is merit and deserves funding. And, you know, if he had to say that, you know, he'd put it in there, definitely. But that's part of the reason we're going to be at the Salt Lake Extraordinary Tech Conference there.
I tell you what, give me an update when you're out there doing that, because, you know, the alternative energy source, it's one of the directions we take this program when we do that. And, of course, as you well know, Dr. Malov was one of our very special friends and guests. And I'd like to hear more. So please, by all means, do that and continue sending me those emails. I appreciate it. Let's go to our special storyline, the line where you never wanted to tell anyone this story before. Hi there, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome.
Well, thank you, George. This is one of the hardest things to get through, but I'm finally through, yay. I did want to mention to you that I had called a couple weeks back and talked to while you were on with a gentleman about portals.
Yes.
I think you were talking about. And I'm from Kentucky right now. Oh, by the way, my name is Goody, and I'm calling from Fort Collins, Colorado.
Goody?
But I'm originally Goody, yeah.
Goody? That's got to be a nickname.
It is. Oh, I got it from the Marine Corps, so.
What's your real name?
It's because of my last name, but Patricia is my real name.
Oh, okay.
Okay. We'll
call you Goody. I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead.
That's okay. I'm originally from Kentucky, okay? And I don't know if you're familiar with where Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois.
Oh, yeah, I used to go through Lexington all the time.
Okay.
All the time.
Yeah. And I'm west of that.
Okay.
I'm right there on the Ohio River. And I wanted to tell you this before, and I'm going to get to my story here in just a second. We'll make this real brief. I had done a historical study on this area about the Mandrake Fault.
Yeah, the New Madrid Fault.
New Madrid, sorry. Anyway, what it was is that in 1811 there was a big earthquake, and they estimated it to be 11.9 at the time. But the reason that was is in 1792, Kentucky had established the Ohio River as their line, right?
Okay, yeah. Right. You sure it was an 11.9? That's a big earthquake.
Oh, no. This is what they got off the study. This is why.
All right.
I'm going to tell you why they think it's 11.9, because this is before we had records, right?
Yeah. Before Mr. Richter was around.
Exactly. What happened was is that basically there is a, you know how Ohio kind of curves and loops and things like that? There's two separate areas. They're actually about 10 to 12 miles apart, but it's around Henderson, Kentucky. And what it is, when that earthquake happened, it literally moved two separate sections of the river in 35 minutes, a mile south of itself. Okay.
And so, and I think the Mississippi also flowed the other way, Right?
It went backwards.
Right? Yep.
Well, and here's the thing. Kentucky or Indiana was disputing the line after that because they were saying, well, you know, you all said the line was here.
It moved.
Just a couple years ago, they finally, Kentucky won that case, saying that, they, you know, the river, not the natural line, the original line is it, and it was crazy. But anyway,
that's a neat story.
Yeah, well, anyway, my original story that I called you for is that when I was about 12, my mother had went on vacation with my father and sent me to a friend to be babysat for about a week. And she was a very devout woman. She was Jehovah's Witness. But I had never really felt that, you know what I mean? I found it out later.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is that she had five children, and it was during my school year, so she was bringing me back from school, and I got home on my last day there. Do you remember Barnum and Collins?
Yeah, he was in Dark Shadows.
Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Remember the Dark Shadows? Well, I had a game called Dark Shadows Game, and I had brought it there, and when I got there, the kids were playing the game, and she'd walked next door to be with her friends, and the kids apparently stayed home from school for whatever reason. And they were one of the littlest child, I think it was 14 to about 5, the littlest child kept saying, someone's turning on the fan in the back. I keep hearing noises. So we're all quiet. I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. Well, the kids kept saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, whatever. And they all dart out of the house. And they leave. I guess they're going to get their mama, right? So I'm putting the game away. Next thing I know, I get kind of nervous. So I leave and go next door. Next thing I know, she comes back. She's going through the house. You ever seen people with this paint by numbers? They do clowns. They do all these. She had them up.
Why'd you have to mention clowns?
I'm sorry.
All right.
Well, she started taking these pictures down that her kids had painted, like clowns and all these weird scenes that she had it before. And she got my game, took it out back, burned them. Okay?
Yeah.
And she kept saying, watch what you think. Demons can read your mind. That's what she kept saying. I'm 12 now. So it freaked me out. I went home. Okay? The next night, I was in my bed, and I wasn't sleeping real well. I was kind of half awake, half asleep. But there is, like, light filtering in on my bed. And so I can see my legs, you know, the light. And I'm kind of half asleep because I'm thinking my mother's waking me up because I feel something moving my leg.
Uh-oh.
And I look down, and I swear to God, as God is my witness, I've seen fingerprints in my leg and this handprint moving my leg. And nobody was there. Nothing was there.
Something was there.
Well, something that's not of this earth was there, but it wasn't a shadow. There was nothing casting a shadow.
Yeah, but we all know what was there. It was some kind of a monster spirit. Well, I hope you're looking forward to a great weekend on tap. And don't forget our Bell Saturday and Sunday with some very special guests right here on Coast to Coast AM. Let's go to our first time caller line. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George,
yes.
First of all, let me just compliment you and tell you that you are just the perfect replacement for Art. I'm 28. I've been listening since I was 17, and I don't think anybody could have done a better job than you.
Well, you are a long-time listener.
A long time. I was on the way to Magic Mountain with my dad when I'm 17. We went up at night to sleep at a hotel and then go first thing in the morning and get all the rides, and he turned it on. I could not sleep in the car driving up because it was just a program I was looking for forever, always been interested.
That's great.
All that stuff, but you're doing a great job. And in fact, I thought you were Art for the longest because your voices are so similar.
We're kind of close. We have this kind of the same inflection sometimes.
A little bit. But I have a two-part story. The first one's really quick. I've never told anybody this one or the second one. But anyways, I come from a Jewish family of which I don't take part in anymore. but when I was 13, my grandfather died, and you know, I never had thought about him again. Really didn't cry at the funeral or anything. And anyways, my mom, she calls me up. She wants to see me all the time, just like any mother. And
sure.
she says, you know, on Sunday, let's go out and have lunch. And I said, okay, great. You know, typical thing. We would do that probably once a month or so. And I said, fine. She says, well, let's meet at noon. I said, fine. And, anyways, next thing you know, she goes, look, she says, I don't want to have to call you and remind you. Do you want me to call you and remind you? I'm like, Mom, listen, stop nagging me. Don't I have to do it, right?
What mothers are that way?
Of course, right? You know. But so anyways, I had been out really late the night before. You know, I went out with a bunch of friends and we partied. And I really literally forgot all about having to meet with my mom. But I have this dream where I'm in this house that somehow I know is my grandparents' house, but not a house that they had ever owned before. And I'm in the kitchen of it, and I'm just, you know, picking at different things, you know, little snacks here and there.
Yeah.
And suddenly my grandparents come home. My grandfather walks into the kitchen. He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "You don't need to fill up. You've got to go meet your mom." And I swear to God, I wake up. It's 5 minutes till noon. And I said, "Oh, my God, I got to run out the door now." And I went out and met my mom. The first time I thought about him and
that's
anything
neat.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it was a spirit or if it was maybe just a timer in my head that went off.
Yeah.
If I'd already said it. Next part's really... This is the one I really am freaked out to tell anybody, but I had a I had a this dream where I was on a bluff of like a cliff, this beautiful cliff with really a majestic big veranda made out of marble. This beautiful lady in a long flowing dress was standing there, and it was overlooking the ocean.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly I took off flying, and I haven't had a dream where I'm flying. No, I'm dreaming, and I'm in control of it since I was a kid.
That's neat, though.
This is about a year ago, right? Suddenly I'm flying, I know where I'm going, and I come to this city that looks like Gotham City. It's black, stark, you know, real, almost computer animated buildings everywhere, and they're just all really metallic, like, you know, and just dark, very, very industrial.
Shiny and, with lights.
Right, yeah. Right. So I fly around these buildings, and suddenly I find this building that just somehow stands out to me. It's almost like an obelisk in its shape with kind of a rounded top. And I circle around it, and then suddenly, boom, like sort of like the Matrix, pop, like right onto the ground.
Yeah.
And I'm in front of it. There's these huge, big wooden doors that are like arched with big, you know, metal handles to open. Just enormous, probably like 50 feet above me, you know, as far as their height. And I open these doors, and I walk in, and it reminds me of like a church foyer, you know, when you walk in and... Anyways, I look to my left, and there's a couple of doorways there, and I say, it's real quiet, so I open up these doors, and there's a bunch of people kneeling down at pews, you know, and they're all basically, I guess, praying or whatever, and behind the pulpit, like up at the front of, you know, of the big room, there is this big, black, shiny-eyed, gray, you know, human-looking alien-type figure, and suddenly he looks up from his reading. He's reading from some biblical something or other.
Sure.
They all in the audience turn around and look at me. I freak out and wake up to my roommate waking me up. He had knocked down my door. I had been out for 2 days, and I had been in a diabetic
coma.
Exactly.
For 2 days?
For 2 days. And that's the only thing I remember for the whole time was being woken up right after having this incredibly frightening yet almost like, oh, this all makes sense.
Now, when you went to sleep, you were fine, right?
Yeah. And I locked my door, and, you know, basically my roommate and I, we keep tabs on each other. We're good friends. And all I know is he hadn't seen me or heard from me for 2 days. He noticed my car hadn't moved.
Yeah, he was a little worried for you, and
a little bit worried, a little bit concerned. So, anyways, he had to basically bust through my lock to get into my place, and or into my room, I should say. And I just know he's shaking me, trying to wake me up. And it was Friday, and it was Wednesday evening, Thursday morning.
Oh, man, I've never heard of that before. And did they take you away in an ambulance, or what happened?
Yeah, the ambulance came to the house. They took me in. I was basically super dehydrated. I had hit like a sugar, my blood sugar was extremely, extremely low.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't realize it at the time, but now I know that I have.
He probably saved your life.
Yeah, yeah. But I wonder, you know, what freaks me out and why I've never told anybody this story is, now, you know, you hear of people having near-death experiences where, you know, the typical white light or, you know, some guiding spirit comes and brings them, but here I am, in control of this lucid dream that I'm having, and you know, I open up these big church doors and walk into the foyer, open the door, and all these aliens are staring at me.
I know, that's weird all by itself. I got to tell you, one of the, and thanks for the call.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you, George.
It.
One of the, great, love the show, by the way.
One of the greatest feelings is controlling your dreams and steering it in the direction that you want to steer it in. I mean, if you have the ability to do that, that's a lucid dream when you know you're having a dream, and then if you can control it and do all kinds of things, alter the outcome of the dream, change the script, do whatever you have to do, I'm telling you, you can do some magnificent things. I mean, the power of the dream state is absolutely incredible. I have done this and have practiced it all my life, and I have never seen it fail, ever, for anything. I mean, I can't, we'll do a whole show on this one day where I'll share with you some absolutely stunning stories that have happened to me, and I am so convinced of the wireless matrix and the connection that all of us are connected to. I mean, we are all part of this. And I mean, you can, once you get into it, once you're in the groove, as I call it, there are all kinds of things you can do to use it, because to positive, good things, because when you do negative things, it comes back and haunts you by 10, believe me. I wish we could go to the rest of the calls, but the clock has ticked away. For Karis Coburn, Dan Galati, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lex Lonehood, Lisa Lyon, Michelle Hernandez, Sean LaDesour, what a staff, Barbara Simpson and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, I'll see you on our next edition. Art Bell this weekend. I'll see you next week. Be safe, everyone. We'll be with you.